Hey, everybody, and welcome to the F This Movie commentary track for The Burning. My name is Patrick Bromley. Happy Scary Movie Month.
Camp Blackfoot.
This is our third Scary Movie Month commentary track, and I'm joined once again by the usual crew. Mike.
Hey, everybody.
Who I will call Cropsy. Doug.
Hello.
I will call you Croopsy.
Drop
and J-Bones.
I'm burning for you.
I will call you Cratsy. So we're going to talk our way through The Burning because we felt like we should do another summer camp movie, and this will cap off our summer camp trilogy.
Plus, it gave us an excuse to eat s'mores.
So here's a scene where people who are clearly too old to be attending summer camp are sharing the stories of what Cropsy, the caretaker, did to each of them. And their plan, of course, is to scare the shit out of him.
Now, Cropsy's a real urban legend, right?
Yes, but like kind of a garbage one, because it's basically like, there was this guy named Cropsy and he killed people, right?
Right.
And so then they're like, well, we based it on that. We have this guy Cropsy who kills people.
There was a documentary in 2009 called Cropsy, which I have not seen, so I will stop talking right now.
Me either, but I have seen The Burning. The first
Wait, year we were supposed this... to watch this before we did the commentary?
No. The first year we did this, we did Sleepaway Camp. The last year we did Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D. I will say that this is, like those movies, this is the work of crazy people. But I think there's a lot of things to like in The Burning. And I may be alone in that. But I think, of the three movies, this one is the best.
Sure. I don't think you're alone. I think that, from what I read on reviews...
I feel alone.
You're alone right now because you're in this bubble that I can't quite explain.
It's my burning bubble.
Your burning bubble. People on different review sites, I was reading before we recorded, a lot of people have fondness for this movie, even though it is kind of... It came out almost a year to the day after Friday the 13th, Part 1.
And the Weinsteins claim that it had been in development prior to Friday the 13th coming out, so it's not a ripoff, see?
But it's so corny. They're lying.
Right.
And at this point, one of the campers is urging them to hurry up.
So many froze.
Because he has a busy day in court tomorrow.
All of these summer camp movies were shot in, like, upstate New York with the same groups of people.
They would go to some theater camp and say, get us some kids.
See, look at that shot right there. That's more artistic than anything in Sleepaway Camp.
I disagree. Well, maybe Sleepaway Camp, but Friday the 13th Part 3 had like a stick poking in the face.
That one was fun because of all the 3D.
Right. This has no... so far, 2D.
I can't believe that Doug is making the argument that something is more artistic because of a stick.
Yes! You know it's brown and sticky?
A stick.
Do you know...
a stick.
What camp do they go to again?
Blackfoot.
Oh, that's right.
But there's it says
it on his shirt.
It's on his t-shirt.
But the second one, spoiler for 15 minutes from now, is a different camp.
I know. What's up with Cropsy? It's weird that they want to murder this guy.
Drool on his pillow?
The
or
plan,
is that his
I know,
shadow?
Is just to scare him. That's Lou David as Cropsy, who would go on to a distinguished acting career. Some of his credits include The Headline Killer in The Last Dragon and Leaflet Man in The Exterminator. And we all remember Leaflet Man in The Exterminator.
He kills because he has to, not because he wants to.
Leaflet Man!
Now, speaking of composition, look at this shot.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
No, this shot makes sense. They had that wall for a set.
Just their faces in the window.
I don't think they had sets, though. They probably just used...
I'm sure they just used a real camp, right?
Now, look at this guy's face. And by that, I mean the camper. Hold on, we're going to cut that. We now concentrate.
What did they call Carmine? The Big Ragu?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just going to call everyone in this movie the Big Ragu, because that's who everyone looks like. Cropsy is just as scary before he's a Toxic Avenger burn victim.
You say Cropsy's played by Lou Reed?
Yeah. All the colored girls say doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot, burning.
And I said, hey, baby, take a walk on the burning side.
That's his real nose, right? Because that is frightening.
Tom Savini does the makeup effects for this movie and actually passed up doing Friday the 13th Part 2 to do effects on The Burning.
And he said he wasn't given enough time, and they didn't describe it to him well enough, which is why when we finally see the thing, it looks like he's melting rather than a burn victim.
The first of many
See, this is why I don't pour turpentine on my bed
skulls. Oh, okay. That's
this is why I never have worm skulls next to my bed. I'm pretty sure when he comes running out of the house, there's like a visible helmet on him. We'll see in a second. Yeah, look at this. That's not Cropsy. That's a dude in like an SS uniform. What is going on there?
So he's from Dead Snow.
Yeah.
If you really want to have some fun, folks, turn on the closed captioning because it just said, Cropsy continues screaming.
Wouldn't you?
That was the sequel.
They were clearly in love with this fire effect because, boy, it goes on for a really long time. And now everyone runs away in disbelief.
And yeah, one of the campers just said, I can't believe it. Gasoline burns.
Oh, fuck, we're jumping. Run!
This is arguably my favorite scene in the movie. Not the best scene in the movie, but maybe my favorite.
The real horror here is that it's a Catholic hospital.
Wow. You burnt, religion. mostly because I love the performance of this orderly guy, who is the best. I'm looking here for his name.
Idris Elba. That's me being racist.
Wow.
Racial.
I can't even say his name. Mansoor Najila.
Sure.
And he's my favorite because the way he just builds up Cropsy, like, he's burnt so bad, he's cooked. I'm talking Big Mac. Like, what does that even mean? A Big Mac is a thing that we associate with being burned to
you
a crisp.
You don't like your Big Macs burnt?
Extra burnt, please.
Crispy that up, please.
This is what happens when you let one of the Weinstein brothers contribute to the script.
Licensing, see?
There's
marketing.
All this buildup.
Yeah, could it be a product placement?
Maybe. For McDonald's? Do you think sales went
way up? He's burned up like a Big Mac or those delicious fries.
I sure would like a Big Mac right now.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm burning it.
Instead of getting my arm grabbed by this fucked up caretaker. This is Burns.
There's like four sheets he has to go through.
It just keeps... It just keeps building it up.
Mother.
and then looks surprised.
No, like, you're the one who built it up.
He looks at Cropsy and it's like he's licking his lips. Like,
because he likes Big Macs.
This is some of the worst acting in the movie. And there's some bad acting in the movie, despite the fact of multiple Academy Awards.
I also like any scene when a black man scares a white man.
Come here, what are you, chicken? Chicken nugget.
Ooh, you so scared.
Yeah. Bah.
You're just milkshake. And then he just stands there and screams, and then we fade away, and we don't even see what happens. Like, I don't know, run away. Just stop. No. All right, then.
Fade to black.
And that's again. The end of that Corky Burger, by the way. Best
Holy
name in the movie. Corky
shit.
Burger.
Corky Burger.
That's the tease. And this was the first Miramax production.
They would go on to steal many an Oscar nomination.
That looks like a John Carpenter font.
A little bit. And many an Oscar they would steal. The Weinstein.
Patrick mentioned earlier that this film might be a little bit better made than the previous two.
Brad Gray is like a big shot, too.
Yeah.
Come on.
He contributed to the script as well. And I think you can see that in the scene we just saw, because say what you like, I give them credit for not showing him yet.
Yeah. Jack Shoulder, by the way, is the editor. Jack Shoulder would go on to direct Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2, the super gay one. And still to this day contends that he doesn't see what's gay about it.
And Rick Wakeman did the score, and a little bit later I'm going to have a couple things to say about Rick Wakeman and how he almost murdered rock and roll.
Corky Burger, again, by the way, I'm still laughing at Mike's Chicken McNugget joke.
It was pretty awesome. Jack Shoulder also directed The Hidden, which I know JB likes.
Oh my God, I love that movie.
Tony Malam is the director. He's a Brit. So
if
he's all like, oh, we're spanking. Cropsy would grab your arm.
If you canoodle.
Mansoor. I had to look and see what his name is again.
If you canoodle about on the site, you can read my column on him.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I had to let you work that.
5 years later.
The guy's still screaming.
Mansoor. That is
just
great.
He's just a skeleton.
Man, that would make the movie.
This scene, I feel like, was added in. This whole sequence, I feel like, was added in after the fact. Because there's no reason why it shouldn't just jump right to the camp. But instead, we have this long scene where he visits a prostitute and murders her. And I feel like it was shot afterwards, A, to add another kill.
Yes.
And B, because somebody was maybe like, but how did he get out of the hospital? When did he heal? It turns out it took 5 years.
And it's ironic if that's the truth, and I do think that's the truth, because what later gets this film in trouble and makes it one of the original British video nasties is the scene we're about to see with the prostitute and a later scene on the raft. So you can really see these sort of mercenary filmmakers saying, we need to punch up that 1 10-minute sequence with some peep show.
But yeah, this weird movie that takes place at a summer camp doesn't need a whole 42nd Street sequence with Wings Hauser singing Neon Slime.
And notice...
In the neon slime!
I think it could benefit from more nudity, more peep
There's
show.
A leg. Mm. No, he's got blurry cropsy vision, too. Is that like burning vision?
Vaseline. Cropsy vision is a trademark.
For the burns. He's got the Vaseline.
Right.
For the burns. I got it. We get it. There's strip clubs on 42nd Street.
Plus, the way this is filmed, it's like some weird news show where they can't actually show anyone. Oh, there's your face.
Gorgeous.
There's his face.
It's a man.
It's Dark Man, apparently.
Yeah. Take the fucking elephant. Sorry.
Come up here, let me give you sex for money.
What year is this release?
81?
Okay.
He says with a question mark.
Because if you think
May
about
of 81,
this scene,
Thank
it's
you.
An awful lot like a similar scene in Paul Schrader's remake of Cat People. But
which came out in 82.
Oh, Schrader's ripping off Malum.
Cat People.
Yes.
I mean, it's really
Schrader
similar.
Got everything he knows from Malum.
Come here.
Yikes. Scarier than Cropsy.
How does a prostitute know about low-key lighting?
I want to put my Adam's apple on your balls.
You know,
you can
they,
leave your hat on. This is the scene that inspired the song.
I think they could have, you know, I know. They
Yikes! No, turn it out.
Lights off, please.
Even my Cropsy vision isn't helping.
Because of what's going to happen later, they wanted the stunt man to play the prostitute.
Yeah,
but they
right.
could have hidden that.
I thought Tom Savini was a makeups guru. Makeups.
Well, he had a shave.
He's good at the makeups.
Savini had a shave his beard to play the prostitute.
That is one of the funny things. If you watch those Friday the 13th or whatever, a lot of the Savini movies, like anytime there's a shot of hands involved in like an effects shot, there's always hairy knuckles, even if it's not a man. Betsy Palmer grasping for her head at the end of Friday the 13th. She's all hairy knuckled. So
you just
here's
Cropsy.
Here's Cropsy's first kill, assuming he let the orderly go.
Well, maybe she's not a prostitute. She's a seamstress.
You guys for real? Is she melting?
Ah! Oh!
All right. Take it easy, man.
Talk about a video nasty.
It's Tom Savini at his best. You know what this reminds me of? That Hitchcock used to brag that they made him a torso that would bleed wherever you stabbed it, but he never used it in Psycho.
Hmm.
Instead, he gave it to Tom Savini.
Who held on to it, showing massive restraint. Do we have a timestamp?
We're... 13 minutes and
no, not the movie.
Seconds.
I'm sorry. I meant, like, we were 5 years later. Is this, what, a week later? A day?
In the first version of the script, it was Camp Bongwater.
Morgenstern. Oh, I like this scene a little bit.
So you guys...
Does Brian Backer still work at the movie theater in this?
I assume so.
Brian Backer was most recently in Vamps.
He shows up in a lot of Amy Heckerling stuff because she's still paying back for, for easy...
Every time. Hey, Jason George Costanza.
Too many people. The jerk store called. Too many people are showing up now on screen for me to get through them all. But as you can see, lots of familiar faces in this movie, and very few bras.
And speaking of contacting the local theater camp and asking them to volunteer people, apparently that's why Holly Hunter is in this, because she was involved in some little theater troupe, and they were called upon to provide extras for the film. We're going to see her later in a canoe.
Yeah, the most important person in this scene is Jason Alexander, obviously, wearing a toupee, because even back then he was bald.
This girl, to me, looks so much like Julie Haggerty, like sexy Julie Haggerty, and I'm kidding about the sexy
what
part.
What the hell kind of teenager says, now we're cooking with gas?
That's the weird thing about these movies, is
because
they all talk
by older guys.
All of the comic relief characters are always weird, like old vaudeville comics. And in some of the bonus features on the DVD and the Blu-ray, you know, people talk about, oh, Jason Alexander.
Hold on.
Was,
oh, sorry, go on.
There's Tiger. Hold on. We got to watch while Tiger looks for the ball in real time. playing Tiger is an actress named Shelley Bruce, who came straight off of the Broadway production of Annie. And you can see she's got a face for theater.
She looks like the bastard child of Larry Fine of the Three Stooges.
She looks like Super Mario jumps on.
Uh-oh. Speaking of Crossy.
Still looking for the
ball. He's graduated to a bigger scissors.
Yeah, but now he has, like, honeybee vision.
That's how the character is evolving.
She's not even looking that hard.
Okay, time out. That catcher, that woman.
Yeah.
Bloodsport.
Yeah, for sure.
Van Damme's love interest in Bloodsport. What's her name? I forgot.
Leah Ayers.
Leah Ayers.
She's in Bloodsport. She was on an episode of 21 Jump Street where she's a teacher and she dates Johnny Depp, even though she thinks he's a student. It's not right. It's called Don't Pet the Teacher. But she has real short hair. Now she's a yoga instructor.
In real life, you mean?
Yeah.
She's a yoga instructor?
Yeah, no, not in a movie.
I had talked
about Hollywood, stop knocking.
In terms of Friday the 13th, that the films are written by older guys. So in Friday the 13th, they're always doing impressions of like Mae West and W.C. Fields.
What all the kids are doing. Yeah.
I was like, did I miss this in the 80s?
So in all the bonus features, everyone says, oh, Jason Alexander, he was as funny on set as he is in the movie. I mean, he's never funny once in this movie. Jokes all the time. Never actually funny.
And the minute they pull back, I expect the scene in Meatballs where the gossip girl stands up and gives all the camp gossip.
Right.
And then in this scene, I expect her to hand the other one a carrot. And now I'm doing Fast Times at Ridgemont.
There's Holly Hunter back there. Somebody just passed her the potatoes.
Just a quick thing about Bloodsport is Mike gave me Bloodsport for my birthday 1 year. And Mike, I've never said it, but thank you.
Do you guys see where Tiger got her name?
No, what would they say?
When they cut back to her, maybe you'll see the shirt she's wearing.
Is that a euphemism? Mike gave me Bloodsport for my birthday.
I have nothing to say about Julie Haggerty.
Okay, we're 17 minutes in, and we're suddenly stopped.
Yeah, we're out.
But back to Bloodsport.
that actress, by the way, not Julie Haggerty's name, her real name is Carolyn Houlihan. She was Miss Ohio USA in 1979, and she made one more movie after this. She played a bathing suit model in a 1982 movie called A Little Sex, and then never acted again.
Typecasting.
Let's talk about that Little Sex. Bathing suit implies she's wearing a bathing suit.
Yeah.
Do you think she gets out of the bathing suit, and should I see this movie?
I don't know. I have not seen A Little Sex.
I like the title.
Yeah.
That's my point.
The Horror of the Empty Bunk.
Are we back to, what's
his name?
Brian
Backer? The Horror of the Pirate Kite. The Horror of the Washcloth.
Again, though, these shots are more ambitious than,
The Horror of a
Yeah, it's like a tracking shot.
Tony Malin was definitely, I'm going to add some artistry to my film. The Burnings.
And help me God, if Schrader is anywhere near this fucking film.
If I've seen Natasha Kinski wearing a tiger sleeve, I'll fucking know, Schrader.
I already burned my cab driver script.
It sounds like you're doing that one.
Which way to the mess hall?
In that documentary I showed you.
People think it's strange.
Do you think people eat at the lake and swim at the mess hall?
Some people go this way.
This scene might get interesting.
I don't think it does.
Really?
No, it does.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, Mike's on the same page as me.
Mike has an encyclopedic knowledge of the burning.
Mike's got the bare facts.
This movie was made for $1.5 million, grossed only $700,000 total, and that was only after they tried several times to release it, even under different titles. We were talking about earlier, one of the times they tried releasing it under the title Cropsy.
But then, was it successful on home video?
Yeah, it started to develop.
Because
a following
in the 80s. If they lost money, then how did Miramax become a thing?
Right. By directing Playing for Keeps with Marissa Tomei. I feel like...
This looks like a shampoo commercial, by the way, from the 1980s.
I feel like really up until the...
Shut the fuck up!
I feel like up until the DVD release in, like, the mid-2000s, and now it's out on Blu-ray from Scream Factory. that this was like one of those.
I love when Patrick talks so seriously when there's boobs on the screen.
I'm trying to distract myself from my boner.
Patrick's surrounded by boobs. Us.
That this was like a slasher movie that
keep talking
had a good reputation, so but people hadn't seen it. And now they have.
And now they will.
And boobs on screen. So this that's is Cheryl available. Crow, everyone. Cheryl Crow. I don't think it's Michelle.
She's asking the unseen killer, is he tough enough to be her man?
Come on, Tiger, we have to go fight in Kumite.
Yes! You've seen Bloodsport.
That girl that she was just trying to wake up, does that girl sleep nude?
I hope so.
My favorite scene in Bloodsport is when it's the flashback with the little boy. He's all like,
oh, you're positive.
What are you doing?
His special needs.
Oh my god, it's the best.
Do you watch Bloodsport? Michelle, is that you?
No, it's Cropsy. I mean, yes, it's Cropsy.
Wait.
No, you're right, I'm Michelle.
Again, that was Vincent D'Onofrio picking her head up from the pillow.
Vincent D'Onofrio and Men in Black.
Aside from the murdered prostitute, this movie actually takes a long time before it kind of kills anyone.
It sure does.
As opposed to Friday the 13th, which murders that hitchhiker very early on.
Well, that hitchhiker had it coming.
True.
And again,
I heard some screaming. I don't got time for shirts.
One of my many problems with Friday the 13th is we actually start to like that character. And that could have been the protagonist of the film, but they kill her.
I think that's actually effective in Friday the 13th. And I wouldn't say there's a ton of stuff that's effective in Friday the 13th, but that's, you know. That's
Jimmy,
the,
I don't know.
That's the psycho approach.
State it for the record right here. I don't think I know your opinion on Friday the 13th.
I'll shut up now.
No, I'm not saying you should shut up.
Jimmy's wrote a column on how much it sucks. He doesn't like the movie.
That dude in the back in the green shirt. He's one of two rapists in this movie.
Yes, it's
most
very
movies
rapey.
Only have one, the asshole guy. This movie has two, but everyone else is really nice, and you don't want them to die. Like in so many of these movies, they're all assholes, and you're just waiting for them to be killed. And in this one, they're actually all pretty nice kids.
You can see someone at the pitch meeting. At the pitch meeting, wait a minute. What if we have two rapists? Twice the rape. Pass the coke.
Arne Schrader only has one rape in his movie. We could fuck himself. I'm on two.
Mike, hey, I'm passing Tony Malin babies to you for the rest of the commentary.
Hey, Schrader, kiss my ass. Two rapists.
Look at the framing on this, you guys.
Is this guy a nice guy? Or is he a rapist?
No, he's all right. He's a good guy.
For the next, rapist or nice guy? Rapist?
Right here, he's telling Brian Backer, you want to put on side two of Led Zeppelin?
Yeah.
Brian Backer is a weird character in this movie because he's just kind of a weasel. Like, he doesn't have the fun personality of a Larry Zerner.
In this scene, the guy in the denim shirt looks a lot like Robert Ginty in the Exterminator.
That's the second Exterminator reference of this commentary.
I've never seen the Exterminator.
I like where this is going.
Oh, you have to see
Robert Ginty looks like someone's dad in that movie. He's not cut out to be an action
hero.
They
should have switched parts with his buddy.
Yeah, for sure. His buddy's awesome. Steve James, right?
Because his buddy kicks ass.
Oh, man. That guy's... And he's that same part in every movie. Every time Steve James shows up, you're like, ooh, be the lead. Oh, no, you're the friend who gets killed? Great. Okay. Spoilers for the Exterminator.
Brian Backer was just saying, it's the same thing every year. I find myself in the shower looking at girls, and they don't know I'm in there.
this dude with the denim shirt, his name's Brian Matthews. He was a TV actor and a soap opera star in the 80s. Then he became a licensed therapist, and in 2012 ran in the Texas Republican primary, but lost.
And
maybe someone
eyes.
Saw the burning.
He's got eyes you can swim in, which wasn't his campaign.
That would be funny.
Too much time spent on Julie Haggerty's bony face. Tiger! You terrify me.
It'd be funny.
Why, certainly! Ah, Tiger smokes!
Kitty's got a scratch.
I thought cigarette breath would make me more attractive to the boys. It would be funny if that guy's opponent used the burning against him in the campaign. Ladies and gentlemen, have you seen this movie?
My rebuttal will be about 91 minutes long.
Let me show you some selected scenes.
Okay, here we go.
Second racist, right?
Yes, this is Larry Joshua in his first appearance as Glazer, who I will call Kanicki because I can't remember Glazer. And he is such a rapist in this movie.
And Larry Joshua shows up on countless television shows.
He was a character actor. He's in Quick Change. He's in Spider-Man. He's a character actor in a ton of stuff. And this was his first movie.
He's always on TV playing the dick.
Yeah. Well, look at how... I mean, he's a terrible actor. And his role in this movie is one of those things that make it such a crazy movie. But, like, could you cast him as anything else?
In his defense, he got better. I mean, sure. As he got older, he became a little bit more professional. Well, but he's on a lot of TV
maybe
shows
wasn't
as,
giving
like,
him a lot
the
of
bad
attention.
Cop.
Sure. He's got that face. He looks kind of like James LaGrosse in Point Break also.
He looks like that one guy in The Exterminator, I think. Did you say Michael Gross in Family Ties?
I said James LaGrosse.
Oh, that's different.
And now this scene, it seems to be composed like gay porn.
Yeah.
Please note, we're watching it with the sound turned off, because so God knows what they might be saying.
Please note,
listen, I saw it first.
Yo, now my shirt's chafing me.
These two have a real rivalry here.
I will not rape her!
When you
point a finger at me, three point back at yourself.
He wears his pants super high.
If you're going to point your finger at me, make sure you mean it. Ooh, they're chattering.
I think an oil slick comes in this scene, doesn't it?
This might be the first appearance of Holly Hunter in a swimsuit.
It was in Jason Alexander's contract that he be allowed to keep his shirt.
He's the fat kid in the t-shirt.
Yeah. Fisher Stevens wears one, too. Fisher Stevens, of course, making his first appearance playing a character named Woodstock.
He twitters around their heads.
This was years before his triumph in Short Circuit. And his even bigger triumph dating Michelle Pfeiffer.
In Short Circuit 2. A lot of people in this movie have really severe faces. I don't know how else to put it. But looking at Fisher Stevens next to Brian Backer, it's like...
And again, we just had an Esther Williams reference. Who wrote this script? An 80-year-old? I was in vaudeville.
Paul Schrader wrote the script.
Reminds me of the scene in What Had American Summer where Zach Orth just falls in.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, well, now that you've seen all these like crazy summer camp movies, you know what What Had American Summer is kind of referencing.
The director asked.
Whoa.
Push cam. Rape cam.
Glazer you cam. Asshole.
A push from Kanicki.
There's Holly Hunter in a swimsuit.
The director asked Fisher Stevens to leave his t-shirt on so it wouldn't call too much attention to... Alexander wearing a t-shirt.
No. Fisher Stevens like, I never take off my t-shirt.
Fisher Stevens from Chicago.
And Chicago, India.
Born Stephen Fisher.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about
much
that.
Much better.
Yeah, I don't know why he decided. I don't know why he decided to just...
I bring the pod, or the podcast, the soundtrack. What is this?
Commentary.
Commentary. I bring it down.
For Scary Movie Month. Hashtag Scary Movie Month.
Oh, yeah. Are you guys excited about
Scary Movie Month? We're at FSMovie.net.
Are you guys excited about Scary Movie Month?
The Burning.
Hashtag Scary Movie Month at FSMovie.
I'm kind of excited. Oh, Tiger's in the swimsuit, too.
Look at that.
Okay, the girl. Oh, never mind.
That water is cold.
Thank God you're sitting close to the mic, Mike. Because I'm afraid these would get lost otherwise.
I wish I was sitting close to Mike.
Pea shooter. They're talking in like West Side Story terminology. So there's a girl that's laying on her stomach. She's in a blue swimsuit. And she's just smiling the whole... She's so friggin' charming in this movie. And I don't know... Her character is not developed. She gets brutally murdered in the raft scene and, like, doesn't deserve it. But every
easy!
Time,
spoilers!
She's just, like, the happy one.
Which one's Holly Hunter? I haven't...
I'll point her out. Hold on. I gotta watch this pea shooter scene. You guys talk. I can't talk. I have a bad cold.
A bad cold?
The greatest moment in his life was when... Oh, he didn't have sex with Jennifer Jason Leigh. Did he? No. He never did.
Gone.
Cock-blocked by Damone. So they're trying to murder Glazer. Pork him, by the way, is the line of dialogue.
Ready, aim, slip, pork him.
Oh my goodness! So Holly Hunter is sitting in the middle. She just put her leg on that larger girl's leg. It's here. Right in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
That's a method laughing.
She's terrific. So we have two Oscar winners in this scene. Holly Hunter, of course, won for the piano.
Did I just see Jason Alexander's ball?
Maybe. It was weird looking.
Right.
Oh!
Whoa, that was like some anus. Some man ass.
like to congratulate Doug on his restraint. They actually dropped their pants and Doug didn't make that noise again.
It was too quick. I was too shocked.
Turned on. You mean turned on?
I was too.
There's two times that Doug suffered from anus shock.
So the Weinsteins, who wrote the movie...
No, wait, I'm pitching the movie Anus Shock.
Glazer has a heroin problem. So the Weinsteins, who wrote the movie... This is one of my favorite scenes coming up.
Who does that with a dart?
Everyone. Everyone who has darts. This is the condom scene, so I should probably wait to make this point, because the condom scene is one of my favorites in the movie. Because if you didn't think he was a rapist already, he's real mad about, like, hey, I wanted lubed! And James Alexander's all, you want lube, you gotta buy it yourself. Like, lube ain't free. Try some of these balloons.
And the line that the guy just said doesn't make sense. One guy wants Playboy, the other one wants Hustler. He said, what do you want with Hustler? You're too small. What? What universe?
Hustler
are those two things connected?
One guy got mad, the other one wanted cracked. Because somehow Glazer has sex in this movie, even though he looks like he's been sick for a long time.
Yeah, he's like a sweaty meth head.
Oops. That's my mother on the phone. I'm not supposed to be watching this movie.
So yeah, this is the lube scene that I was just... He's very upset that he doesn't have lubricated rubbers. Because apparently... Girls cannot create their own lubrication while sleeping with Glazer.
Not with Glazer. Even though his name is Glazer.
And she didn't get wet when I raped her.
I like how he throws them across the room. These will do me no good because I'm not sexy enough to start that reaction in the female. Plus, they're supposed to be high school kids, right?
Cropsy. That was our first shot of melted Cropsy.
Sabine's like, you like that?
And again, for a long time, they're doing this POV thing, so you think they're trying to keep the killer's identity like a secret, as though it's a mystery, and maybe Brian Backer's the killer or whatever, but no, then they just say, no, it's this guy. The same guy that we burned at the beginning of the movie. There's sort of a logic to it.
And a lot of these slasher films, because the director realizes one of the tropes he has to use is the POV camera, there's a lot of that nonsense, like, oh, hi, I didn't expect to see you here, with the actors talking to the camera. But as you just pointed out, in most of them, we know who it is.
Right,
so,
right.
Well, I just thought it would be more successful if I did what other successful films did.
And going back to the Friday the 13th, that makes even less sense in that movie, right? Because the things that they say... wouldn't make any sense, I feel like, because
well,
they don't know
the
13th, who Jason's
exactly.
mother is.
And it turns out to be someone we've never even heard mentioned. There's no way you can figure it out. It's like at the end they said, it's Mr. Clean.
Right. Part 5 plays that game even better, because they reveal
it
was the paramedic driver from that one scene.
Said they hung tigers.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that.
He
I'm
did.
Sorry. Is that prescient? Is that foreshadowing? Does she get hung?
No, she lives. Spoiler.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, and I'm only noticing now because we have the captioning turned on, that whoever wrote this loves to end a line with shit. They add that, and maybe that's why the movie is shit.
Easy.
Easy.
Look at these extras. See the little kid with the salt?
Yeah. You know what's right about
the salt in the other guy's milk?
I was in the burning.
He's crazy ad-libbing.
See?
Or maybe that was the director.
I survived the summer of crop scene.
You're barely going to be seen, but I want you to put salt in his milk.
Please.
It will add some...
Leave the malum to Mike.
Apparently there's a Seinfeld episode about George getting gonorrhea.
Really?
Or a girlfriend gets gonorrhea, or talk of gonorrhea called The Burning.
Really?
And I'm wondering... I mean,
is that a weird reference?
Yeah, I don't know.
This girl actually has sex with Glazer. I will never understand that.
You can't resist me with all my raping skills.
I got condoms. They're not lubricated, but...
You've got some glaze, right? You're going to have some Glazer in you.
Jason Alexander continues to not be funny.
Hey, Todd, whoa!
But again, not such an insufferable piece of shit that you want him to die, which is the case with so many of these movies.
Did you know that Alexander apparently was as funny off the set as he was in the movie?
There's the girl who's laughing at everything.
Oh, she's not wearing a brassiere either.
I like her. I'm a fan of her. I'm sad when she dies because she doesn't deserve it.
The girl on the right you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Because you have a Gabby Hoffman kind of thing going, so I figured.
In the original version, again, I assume you guys have already seen this movie.
Vitamin E, Chris, we said.
That guy kind of looks like Jason Lively in Night of the Creeps.
He looks like a little...
In the original script, Brian Backer's character Alfred dies at the end, but he does not in the finished movie.
And I'm looking at all the kids and all the adults, and it's every hairstyle from my high school. It's a very popular style.
I, like, I feel like called. This is what I feel like Woodstock is what your brother used to look like
in the 80s. Yeah, maybe. It's like a stick with big feathered hair,
oversized clothes,
right?
No fingers, dead.
Easy. Spoilers for my brother's future.
Why? What's going to happen to his fingers?
Oh, they live. They find a new home at the bottom of a lake.
You got to figure if they're going to Devil's Creek, they're asking for it. They get what they deserve.
That counselor guy is in such a long tradition of... By the way, Woodstock in this movie invented the fanny pack. That is a great walk. That counselor is like part of such a long tradition of the counselors in these movies. Just like...
Head counselor, you mean?
This New York guy, usually Italian or something.
Cropsy's like, must be crouching down low.
Yeah. Like, what does Cropsy do the rest of the day? I guess they should show, like, empty soup cans or something. Right.
Well, it takes them about an hour.
A little garden. It's cultivated.
It takes them about an hour to smear the Vaseline on the lenses of glasses.
I'm so glad, by the way, right there, they didn't, like, do a...
A jump scare?
No. Well, that, but also, like, a flashlight test. Like, yeah, it seems like it works. Like, he turns it on and immediately does what he needs to do with it. Not like a stupid movie trope where they just, like, oh.
Right. I wish the flashlight would have created feedback.
I wish the flashlight had exploded.
Ah, found him.
I wish the flashlight would have raped.
Here's my wrote Melman's next movie. Melman. Did I mention his name wrong? Malum.
Tony Melmac hates cats. I mean, he loves cats. He wants to eat them.
His planet exploded when everyone plugged in their hair dryers at the same time.
Is that an elf?
That's Alf's real origin.
Wow.
It's a deep. That's it for what I know about Alf, by the way.
You can tell how young Fisher Stevens was, because in these close-ups you can see his acne.
Yeah, they don't always have the best, like, hair and makeup people on these movies. Or did you guys not see Tiger?
No, that's the real face.
Whoa, back up. That's not a Savini effect?
Hey, Tiger.
That's not Savini!
Tiger, they did what they could.
This scene is still going, by the way.
Tom Savini says, I work with what I got. Up. Take care.
I do. I like this movie, but it takes its time at points.
Well, if you really think about what narrative they're telling.
Right.
91 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
With a detour to the prostitute.
Yeah.
That scene has got to be 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
If you read any plot description, it literally reads like, and then he was chased, and then he was saved, and then he was chased, and then someone was scared. And then so, like,
then
and
there's
then
a near
everyone
rape.
In the raft
then
was
a real rape. Then the raft scene, which is awesome, and then another 20 minutes.
Jason Alexander, funny throughout.
The counselor, by the way, is still talking.
I know. He's like, Goldberg, Steinblatt.
I'm wondering, in terms of a plot summary, if you're referring to Wikipedia, because whoever wrote the plot summary on Wikipedia... Exhaustive does not go far.
That's how most plot summaries are on Wikipedia. I don't know if you read them. They're, like, very detailed. And
they're written,
like,
by autistics, right?
Yeah, it's written like you'd write a paper in junior high.
We're missing a banjo cue right here. Like, right. Hey, it's fun time in the summer. Nobody's getting murdered again.
No, you know what I thought you meant by banjo cue?
What? Oh, no, there's a real... There's Holly Hunter in a swimsuit.
It's a teenage version of Deliverance.
There's that girl smiling that you love
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, because she's happy to be in a Fisher Stevens, Jason Alexander sandwich.
Right.
Two Academy Award winners on screen right now. Holly Hunter, 93 for The Piano. Fisher Stevens, best documentary feature for The Cove in 2010.
He did The Cove?
Directed it or produced it?
He produced it.
Okay.
He kind of That's kind of what he does now, is he produces documentaries.
Because I have seen The Cove.
And he started a theater company with that rapist in the late 80s, those two. It should have been called, like, Cropsy.
This is just the most fun thing to do.
Like, space out a little. What are they doing?
They're splashing each other.
Oh, right.
Because it's a splashing.
That guy only. Everyone in this movie has one costume, by the
it's
way.
One of those splashing.
Jason Alexander always wearing the same shirt. Yep. Other guy wearing the same denim shirt. Woodstock wearing the shirt he just wore yesterday.
I think they're wearing their own clothes, right? I mean, they have no costume mistress.
Yeah.
And can we argue that all the splashing is actually not splashing? It's padding. Because, well, we've got the camera on a boat. Let's splash. Oh, there goes Holly Hunter's canoe.
Did this become Cropsy?
That's where Holly Hunter died, you know. In real life. She's been a ghost ever since.
What?
The zombie Holly Hunter? Explains her braids in the piano.
She was dead in Raising Arizona?
Yes.
She's dead inside.
This is the first...
it's a weird moon out. This moon kills, you know. Feeds off the earth.
This is the first of two campfire scenes. There's a brilliant one at the end of the movie. He's telling the legend of Cropsy.
Ties it all together.
Yeah. Which we don't really need because we saw the legend of Cropsy at the beginning of the movie. But
you know. Picture a fire. Not this fire.
That's a very different fire.
Picture any fire, but not this one.
I actually have always thought that the thing at the end would be much more effective if they cut this out. I kind of like the movie ending with the story being told around the fire. Yeah. As you pointed out, this just negates it.
And this exact scene was done in Friday the 13th Part 2, which I want to say was written and directed by Paul Schrader.
And now we're not
Michael?
Sure.
I said that just to whip Malum into a frenzy.
Just now we weren't sure if the audience knows. Just now we're not sure if the audience knows what a sadist is, so he says it and then he defines it for the campers.
That's what I like about this movie. It expands my vocabulary.
Tiger scare.
Tiger's got her tail between her legs.
Nobody puts Tiger in the corner.
It is a hard knock.
Doesn't quite apply, but if she were the king of the burning.
I think Alexander looks exquisitely bored.
But he's wearing that sweater from J. Crew.
Or J. Peterman.
The gag went wrong. I mean, really, you guys, I'm
now
so worried about Glazer.
The shadow makes it look... In that shot, it looks like he has a mustache.
And Vincent D'Onofrio.
In that one shot, because of the lighting, he looks like he's 40.
Yeah. Ah.
So Cropsy, right? Like, picture a fire, but not this fire. I'm going to keep making that joke.
And this guy, turns out, is telling the story, and he doesn't say this. This guy was there. We find out he was there. He was part of the group that burned Cropsy. But he's saying, like, Cropsy yelled out, "I'll be back. I'll have my revenge." No, he didn't. All he did was scream and continue screaming.
All he said is, "Where's my helmet?"
According to the...
So are you suggesting he's an unreliable narrator?
Yes. That's what this whole movie is about. It's the Catcher in
the
Rye.
See, that's
the
lighting. He looks very old because of the
Because
lighting.
That's just... He has that kind of face. Like, he looked... He was like a Benjamin Button kid.
Michael Jackson's there.
That was a weird cut.
No, it's effective. Malum knows what's up.
Was it?
Yes.
I know what's up.
I think we'll cut twice. Fast like. Ah, Cropsy! It looks like a Jason mask, sort of. Actually, it looks like the guy, the killer from the funhouse.
It really does. And there's that shit again.
Yeah.
Literally.
What?
Oh, it's just rapist number two, guys. That's Ned Eisenberg, rapist number two.
And now this is the 80s, so remind me, because I kind of slept through that decade, that you could get an easy laugh by having them swear?
Maybe.
That if the characters would swear, the audience would laugh most of the time?
I was, I think, 3 or 4 when this movie came out, so I probably would have laughed.
So when your parents used to swear at you, did you laugh?
All the time.
Or did you cry?
All the time. Douglas, we have some nudity coming up.
Awesome.
The bad news is, it's that girl. Miss Teen Ohio, 1979.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's him.
She's like, but you haven't flown a plane in such a long time.
Am I right about that? Her face is 100% bone. What is going on?
I thought you were going to suggest that he's going to get naked and that Doug will once again suffer anus shock.
It's a building with lots of patients, but that's an important thing.
This clearly is not shot day for night.
I think this is called day for day. Day for overcast day. Overcast day for day.
So her concern about dating Eddie is that he brags too much about how many women he's been with, okay. Not the fact that he's a cruel bully of a rapist.
Right.
Ned Eisenberg never takes a no.
Ned Eisenberg, right?
Yeah.
I love that line he just says, we're together and we're alone. That's my criteria.
I'll tell you who's going to see you, Cropsy. You dummy. The guy just told you at the camp. Oh, he wasn't there. He was getting ready for that mask gag.
Yeah, so he missed the legend of Cropsy.
I'm taking a dip.
I found this website. I'm trying to do some research for the movie. Because I don't know all this stuff off the top of my head. And there's like a fan site where they do interviews with 6 or 7 cast members. And they ask only the same questions. They don't change the questions based on who they're interviewing. And everyone gives these like 2-word, like, I don't remember. I haven't seen it since it came out. Yeah, we had fun. It's the worst.
Bam, 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 bam. Stinky sock.
Yeah, right? In slow, like, ooh, a long, lingering shot of her taking off a dirty sock. Boy, yo, 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 yoing.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
She can you can tell it was the 80s.
I was not ready for that.
Population. Bush.
She's like, oh, I can't wait to have sex and contract giardia from this dirty lake water.
Giardia?
It's a bacteria that lives.
I put it on my beef sandwich.
Did you just mix
that up? No, giardia is a
bacteria. How do you know about giardia?
Because it exists in lakes.
Because he's a victim of giardia.
Oh my God.
I think dogs get it.
Only a victim of giardia would know about giardia.
So it's a thing that is in lakes, and what happens if you get giardia? Do you get murdered by Cropsy?
I think so. You either get murdered by a guy named Cropsy, or you get the trots, something serious.
Wait, giardia
oh, Trotsy?
Yeah, you get the trotsies.
What if giardia is French for Cropsy?
Get out of here! Right? I don't want
to
mess up!
I mean, he's such an asshole to her.
This guy's
making
got borderline personality
yes,
disorder.
And there's more than one of him in this movie.
Let's do it. No.
Fuck you!
He belongs in Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, my God.
Where everyone is needlessly cruel. If I didn't have this boner, I'd get out of this water.
Do a carpenter's dream.
Here come some of my favorite shots.
Board in need of a screw.
Here come some of my favorite shots. Where are my clothes? Now watch the shots of the... Whoa, and here's some over here.
It's the director.
And even more clothes.
It's the director's patented panty cam.
Good thing he left the shoes. He's like, even Milo Cropsy's like, I'm
Malum,
not such
a hey, Malum, listen, I see on this page we get some shots of the clothes. How are you thinking about shooting those?
Oh, you're sending me?
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you were doing a joke.
I'll make Doug Malum, all right?
I do a bad...
I think we should put the clothes over here.
Let's track you, Doug, doing Tony Malum.
Mike is so captivated by what's on the screen, he forgot to
yeah, what are you talking
checks.
For?
By the way, isn't it a little bit cruel that, like, they made this actress be naked for
yeah,
this
long? Super yeah. cruel. She got paid.
She left movies one movie later. Maybe it was the fact that they wouldn't let her get dressed for all of the burning.
I am tired of being typecast as the Bush.
It's on the back of her jersey and everything.
But what you said about him
jersey.
Filming the clothes before?
Yeah.
How would you describe that shot? It's a, it's completely unmotivated, but it's
yeah.
like this sweeping.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like a sweeping camera a POV shot.
The fact that they even oh here's a murder. The fact that they thought they needed to get a shot of the clothes at all. Like she could just say, "Where are my clothes?" and we assume they're missing instead of "Here they are."
She's like, you know, that'll dull your blade, right?
I was Miss Ohio.
Not on my bush. I regret nothing.
Except this movie.
The shot of the shears in the tree, I would love to see the shears start bleeding when it's on.
Yeah, but you know who's laughing now? Eddie. Because he's having sex with her. That was dark.
Oh, that certainly took a turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sure did.
Well, it must be morning at the camp.
You guys seen that one girl whose name I don't remember? Hey, Heisenberg, wake up.
Eddie, wake up. She's dead.
This guy had all this stuff for just him?
We know you did it. Why don't you confess?
Strewn around.
She's fine. Jardia doesn't work that quickly.
There's the shit again.
Some sort of interrogation?
It is some sort of interrogation. We're asking questions about where she is.
I'm going to find her or rape her trying.
Look at his mad face. He really worked on that. And you know that, like, this guy was the guy who insisted on being in character all the time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, like, would only let people call him Eddie. You know it. Because he's, like, the serious New York actor. They're still wearing the same clothes. I just want to point that out. They've been here for days.
Look, I didn't kill her. I'm not a good enough actor.
And again, I'm not real sure what the point of this scene is.
Look,
we in the audience know that she's dead.
So I swore. She splashed me, so I swore. That's all that happened.
This always happens at around this point.
I'm going to call that guy Scowly.
I picture Karen. Well, I know she's dead, but I picture her under the canoe going, hey, Baba Reba.
That comes up later when Cropsy's in the canoe. And just going,
hey, Baba Reba.
Yeah. Yeah. So the canoes are gone, which sets up everybody has to go look for the canoes, which sets up the movie's most famous scene.
Isn't she in Revenge of the Ninja, too?
No.
There's a yoga teacher. Plot. Or is she yoga? Or, I mean, it's the... Yeah, okay,
that's
it's a different one.
Yeah, yeah.
I shall not keep talking about Revenge of the Ninja.
No, you totally can. I have some things to say.
Maybe it makes it easier to match stuff, but have you noticed how much he relies on close-ups?
Yeah.
It's sort of...
Are you...
It's his signature stuff.
I remember this scene, how long it must have taken them to find their specific rock. Like, there's a different shot of them, and it's like, it's hard to get to the places they're sitting.
So now I'm calling upon Mike to do the English accent.
All right.
Mr. Director, how long did it take to block this scene of them on the rock?
6 months.
Malin likes to prepare, you guys.
Right.
First, we had to grow the rocks.
We grew them?
Sorry.
We literally had to wait out the ice age for a glacier to come and deposit the rocks.
I'll tell you what, it was worth it.
You know, you could almost... divide the actors into Scowly, not Scowly.
I think we're done with nudity, right?
Glazer has sex, and I can't remember if that girl gets naked in that scene. We might not see her naked.
And so were you gonna
take off?
Yeah, I'm Doug. Come back, Doug, don't leave, Doug.
I've got a
he's right here.
A pole to scrape, so I will.
See ya. I'm gonna throw these into the water until Karen comes back.
Where's your fucking canoe?
Hey, penny for your thoughts.
Shit.
Jesus, we'll never get out of here. I wish we could swim.
Sometimes I wish that they had written better dialogue. You know, that we could actually be saying something that would, I don't know, be true to life.
They're worried about Karen, you guys.
Shit.
Stop making light of it.
Oh, is this the movie where they make a raft?
I don't remember them making
a raft. Or am I confusing this with another movie?
They do make a raft?
It's a movie where they make a raft.
But they do make a raft.
Yes. Yeah, so they make a raft in Castaway, too?
Yeah.
All this is coming flooding back to me because we watched this at Patrick's years ago.
You know, fine, we get a show. I want this Alexander kid.
We're space.
Yes. She does great reactions, you guys.
She does.
Look at it. She's not changing. She's like a Kristen Wiig character.
Right. Jason, but, you know, I watched that...
Likeable.
...that horror film you were in, and I thought you were burning with talent. What's the deal with the Cropsy?
What's the deal with horrible sheets? Why do I want to go to bed?
Are they lubricated? Are they not lubricated? What's the deal with these condoms?
How many people have to die in bed for them to make mouth of bullshit?
There's the shit again. Here, how about this?
Now they're literally making a raft.
They hired a script doctor to punch up the script. And his sole contribution was adding the word shit.
I changed the third, guys. I changed the third. Where's Mike? That was Brad Bray.
D'Onofrio brought a log, by the way.
She's used mostly for the heavy lifting.
You know,
she's
Brad
the pack
Gray,
mule of the bunch.
Yeah, they strap a bunch of
final polish on the script. And
The script seems to be missing something.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
I wonder if a rape is about to happen.
This is not good.
I feel like even if Cropsey had already murdered everyone else, no one would have sex with Glazer.
Can't see why not.
In tonight's very special episode, Glazer learns that no means no.
Like, you can make him an asshole, but still have him be kind of handsome, and then maybe I would be like, all right, she'd maybe talk to him.
Maybe he's got a huge rod.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, a big penis.
No, oh, oh.
Yeah.
What is with Alfred?
Yeah, I don't know. He left his wallet at home.
He's a mouth breather.
Constantly looking for it.
That's a big cast, by the way.
Yeah. But again, most of them don't die. We have this group on the raft. They're going to find... Oh, no, they die on the raft, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking they got into a canoe. But...
Don't jump the gun there.
And again, the raft scene that's coming up is what got this film in trouble way back when.
But it...
How you can distinguish the uncut version from the cut version.
It again, defies logic, because when you wrote about Friday the 13th a couple years ago, you pointed out the famous scene with Kevin Bacon, where he dies under... The killer's under the bed... Had to have been under there for a really long time waiting for someone to lay down so she could stab him.
And there's three bunks in the room, so he had to successfully...
So Cropsey is literally just laying in a canoe all day. I hope they build a raft and paddle by, and then I'll kill them good. Which is what happens, but he's literally just laying in a... Which I guess answers the question, what does Cropsey do all day?
Cropsey's lying in a canoe. I got all the time in the world. I'm just gonna wait for them to come to me.
But again, I like to goof on these movies. But I like
they're so easy to watch, though. They're so fun to watch.
And this, I would argue, is still a good scene, not just because it's so shocking and well done, but like they really are tired and irritable, and there's a good reason for it. Finally, they're not just a rapist like this guy. This guy starts out as rapist. I think this scene is very believable, the way that they're all kind of interacting. And I also think it's interesting that they put the rapist on the raft, because usually that big of an asshole would get his own individual death scene.
Mm.
You know?
Are you giving the movie credit for what could just be serendipity, though, or what could just be, like, lazy...
Maybe. I don't know, but...
Like,
death of the author, you know what I'm saying?
You like that he's on there, but...
Now, here's my question.
It's very hard to
remember there. Clearly, the sense of time in this film is weird. The girls have oars, but the boys
have
penises. Using...
First of all, John, those are paddles. Oars are ones that go into a rowboat.
I think that's a D'Onofrio fashion, the boys' paddles.
Look at the two in the front.
Yeah.
So, besides making a raft...
No, Tiger whittled those out of her teeth.
But you get my point, right?
Yeah.
Those are...
D'Onofrio made those
paddles, paddles in the front.
Yeah. They drew a sapling. They waited for it to mature. They cut it down.
So again, this is a genuinely shocking and terrible scene. Because you do like most of the people on that raft, and you don't
and
expect them all to be...
gets the film banned in England for many years.
And also, you know, a lot of these slasher movies, it's all about killing one person at a time. You don't usually see... five people killed off in one shot.
Well, not to discredit anything, but the murder scene, which we're just about to see, is lots of cuts, lots of where it's like they could probably defend themselves. But
if
the girl I like just pitches right into the water right away. I like to believe that she got away.
This is pretty violent, though. Yeah. So there's the iconic scene,
right? And that's a great shot. Come on. So
see ya.
So she goes into the water and is never seen again.
Like, why isn't Fisher Stevens doing anything right here?
No!
Whoa!
God damn.
There's the, What was that, by the way? What was just cut off?
Just a piece of... Wow.
Ooh, that's probably the most violent.
At his best.
No, I think actually the girl gets it worse. That looks really fake. This, I feel like, is worse. because it drips for so long.
Ew.
But again, some artistry there. Not that that's a great shot, but some thought went into it. It was
actually, I think that's storyboard. A great shot. And then the dissolved
and
red.
And then we'll fight to rent. And I, let's see you top that, Schrader.
And I would agree with Patrick.
Fucking cat people.
These types of movies have taught us to associate when you're in the group, you're safe.
Right.
It's when you wander off by
right.
yourself.
Right.
So that actually works very effectively to upend that cliche.
Yeah. And he does it a bunch in that scene. Tom Savini loves to do this thing in his gore scenes, especially. You see all those times where Cropsey is swinging the hedge clippers and misses and hits the raft. Savini does that all the time where he wants to show that a weapon has weight. So you believe that it's a real thing that
so
they're
using? So do you think that's the effects guy, not the director? With
I think
choices?
That's. No, I absolutely think that's.
Yeah, because I think Savini, like in Friday the 13th,
they'll swing an axe and miss just so you could see how powerful the axe is, and then he'll hit him on the next one.
That is disturbing.
But also, I feel like it makes it more effective because it's more of just like this crazy frenzy where he's just swinging it at anything, you know, and sometimes he misses.
Who's the director here, Savini? Not you.
Well, know your place.
I think you make a good point. I think in a lot of these films in the 80s, the special effects guy was almost a de facto co-director.
Right.
Because he's the one who's telling, I'm thinking of the scene where John Landis is filming the transformation in Werewolf, and Baker is showing him all the stuff he can do, and Landis is so impressed by it that he now admits that scene goes on forever because he was just so in love with all the stuff Baker came up with. So you can really see Savini telling the director to do this and to do this because he designed the effect.
Right.
So back to Leah Ayres.
Yeah,
I'm on the fence about her.
I'm not a fan.
Sometimes I think she's cute, and sometimes I think she looks like the melting Raiders of the Lost Ark Nazi. Like, she's skeletal is my point. But I
one more thing about Leah Ayres, by the way.
Yeah.
She took over...
She was in what sport? Thanks, Mike.
She took over for Maureen McCormick in 1990. They tried to launch a Brady Bunch drama series, like a nighttime drama called The Bradys. Maureen McCormick did not come back, and Leah Ayres played
Marcia. Very AIDS-y Bradys.
Played Marcia.
This is heavy.
Marcia. Now, see, he can't go for a long time because he's got those non-lubricated condoms.
Right.
He's chafing my rod. Chafing little blazer.
Is that the condom, or is your vagina sandpaper?
You know, you could even make an argument.
It makes her feel bad. You didn't do too much to warm it. Like, it's your fault. It's not me.
Can argue that this upends the cliche, because we're used to them getting killed mid-act.
Right.
So not only did they avoid that, but
I think Cropsey is also mid-act right now.
I'm trying to think of any other horror
film.
Like,
finish. Come on, finish.
Where we get something like this.
Where after this?
Damn Vaseline eyes?
No. That clearly he had no interest in... That he's inadequate.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
At the very least, it's a little bit more true to life.
Right.
To the way most high school boys approach.
So you're saying the burning is a parable for masculinity and human sexuality.
I believe it's a parable for our time.
Right? Is there a no areola?
I will still contend that in the category of like these kinds of 80s slasher movies, I think this is one of the better ones. It doesn't avoid the cliche of, you know, Karen got naked, this girl gets naked, and aside from the raft scene, these are the two that really die most brutally.
By the way, you can sync yourself with the commentary track and the movie, just looking at, find the butt, and find the fart sound. You're welcome, F-heads.
What Carol Clover, the author of Men, Women, and Chainsaws, calls that it's a stringent moral tale.
Yeah.
That if you transgress, you die.
But again, it does throw that off because all the people on the raft were good, nice people. All they did was
smile,
shoot people with pea shooters.
That previous POV shot as he goes in, they should put really lush romantic music over this. Oh, speaking of music, the score for this was written by Rick Wakeman, who was one of the original members of Yes. And as much as I like their hit Roundabout, if you've ever listened to a live Yes, it's pretty tiresome progressive rock.
Hey, yeah. I don't like this struggle either. That's
her acting is so bad. No, I mean, it's like, it's genuinely horrifying in the way that, like, Adam Goldberg dying in Saving Private Ryan is horrifying. But but her acting is so bad that it almost ruins the...
This movie, if you think about it, has a lot of comparisons to Saving Private Ryan.
Agreed. That raft scene, D-Day.
The bookends.
Yeah. Tiger was in both.
Right. Tiger was a sticky bomb in Saving Private Ryan.
I thought that was Barry Pepper.
Well, the scene they just showed of the close-up, it looks more like...
found those matches.
It looks more like she's reacting to a surprise birthday party than fighting for your life.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. Yeah, that's... It could be a genuinely upsetting scene, but the acting is really bad. And, of course, he feels, oh, there might be something else for me to quietly watch. That looks like a wig in that shot.
It's daytime.
Yeah, right? It really is switching back and forth a lot.
Well, I guess any campfire scene was actual night, and anything else was day for night.
It's shades of Ed Wood here.
I mean, this is really all he does the entire movie. And then he would be in a police academy.
What was his task? Oh, she's like, make
Citizens
me a fire.
On patrol.
In positing Alfred as
the... Oh, you're super wet now.
In positing Alfred as the outside observer, is the director setting up an in-the-movie surrogate for himself?
Interesting.
The man who's fated to do nothing but observe.
Interesting. And again, originally he was supposed to die, but he doesn't. And this is a weird thing, too, because... Am I wrong? We don't see what happens, right? And there's silence. We wait in suspense.
Because I don't remember.
To see the fate of Sally. I mean, I know what happens to Glazer, and it's fucking brutal, but I don't know if we get...
That's how I wake up
the
my
reveal
wife
that
in the morning.
She's, yeah, so, whoa! So where is Cropsey in relation to... Oh, here we got the Spike Lee shot right here. And again, he does
Alfred,
the thing where he slams the things into the tree so you can see how powerful they are.
That's a pretty good effect. I mean, they're moving with it. And,
for the time and the budget, could it be that Alfred was secretly in love with Glazer?
It could be.
I like that you're taking it seriously. It's deep stuff for The Burning.
It's a pretty thoughtful examination of The Burning. The Burnie.
Weekend at The Burnings.
Gotta wake up.
Ted, wake up!
Put your denim shirt back on.
You know, it'd be funny, he wakes Todd up, and it was all Todd's dream.
He wakes up next to Bob Newhart.
Take that. Newhart jokes on your Scary Movie Month commentaries.
Yeah.
Boom.
I'm really excited about Halloween, by the way, guys.
The holiday or the movie?
No, the movies. I don't care about the trick-or-treating or the costumes. I care about the scary movies.
I like trick-or-treating and costume.
I do not. I like scary movies and fall.
You should
and
watch The Burning every day. 31 Days of The Burning.
Isn't that the feature on AMC?
That sounds like a Risky Business column.
AMC just shows, like, Halloween 1, 4, and 5... And some Friday the 13th.
No movies. Season of the Witch?
Not usually, no.
Oh,
the rights are held by someone else.
AMC is hard to watch anything on. I can't watch.
There's too many commercials. Yeah. I thought by AMC you meant the theater by our house.
No.
1 year they showed Ghostbusters every Thursday in October.
Really?
I don't even consider...
Was that the year you guys dress up?
Yep.
I know I'm wrong here and you guys will... I don't even consider... Ghostbusters isn't like... An October movie? I don't know.
I mean, I'll let, like, Charlie watch it, you know, in October.
Kind of.
When he's
you know, for people who don't want to be scared.
Most of it's going to make him watch The Burning.
I usually watch The Mummy,
Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. I mean, that's scary. With those bugs.
Watch out. And so now you think that Todd died, but he didn't. He's fine, guys.
It was just a grazer.
Is Brian Becker a hunchback in this scene? It looks like he's running to his bell tower.
He's an odd-looking fellow.
Sanctuary!
Who got a lot of movie work for being such an odd-looking fellow.
We know what's going to happen. It's Cropsey.
Cropsey Cam is the worst.
Whoa, he was right here.
And he stopped and like, to take his breath.
You know what that shot is like? It's like that funny shot in Evil Dead.
When
the ghost can't find what he was chasing.
Right. Why does he pin his arms to the rods like that? That's not what I would do. Cropsey was looking for me.
What?
Whoa.
It was just a bad dream.
I have this tiny bit of blood on my head. These I leaves, like they feel so nice.
I like to touch leaves.
Shouldn't have done all that ecstasy.
My fingers are shiny.
I can taste the music.
And there was the raft. The mute testimony to the slaughter.
Where did this girl come from with the rack and the glasses?
She's been here all along. You're just not paying attention.
I would notice something like that. Where did her pants go?
Because you were distracted by my smiling friend. But she's dead now. And I have to live with that every day.
It looks like they're all just taking a nap on the raft.
Mm-hmm.
What could possibly go wrong?
Kind of a raft nap. What?
That's look, guys, I'll swim
do
out
me
there
a favor.
Killed,
put
okay?
your shirt back on.
She opened a chest.
Eat a cheeseburger.
Is she going to run into the oil slick?
Yes. The answer is yes. She's going to run into the corpse of Fisher Stevens so we can find out how he died. It turns out he didn't just bleed out from the fingers. So that's good. You guys don't have to worry about that being a thing.
No!
My lovely wife has looked up Giardia.
Oh, good.
On her smartphone.
We have the answer.
And it's really appetizing looking.
Don't doubt Doug's knowledge.
I didn't know.
Is that one of those enunciation exercises that actors do before they go on stage? Doubt Doug's knowledge. Don't doubt Doug's knowledge.
What did you do to do today according to do to do?
I was gone.
Unique New York. Unique New York.
Testes. 1, 2, 3.
Hey, guys, it's fine. It's just a bloody hand, but it has all its
fingers. Oh, son of a bitch! Jordan's like, I want hand.
Oh, easy, Fisher Stevens. That was good.
That was good.
That's the sign.
By the way, we fade to red again.
I've got hand, and you're going to need it. I'm out. I'm done.
And again, now we have the campers are actually upset. And Vincent
D'Onofrio
is calming down Tiger.
Ooh, Holly Hunter, some emoting.
He looks like Timothy Oliphant there.
A little bit. I don't know.
Come on, kids. Your mother and I want to go. The minivan's parked right there the whole time.
I've been running for days.
Someone to watch.
I mean, such good acting going on. Oh, no. Just drop him, Krupp.
The director just told him to act like Jared Lee. You see, the cliche is a fade to black. But we thought, with all the blood, how about a fade to red? That could be different.
Yeah.
That'd be awkward to, like, push off all the dead bodies.
Yeah, right?
Now, what's the game plan here? That they don't want to be in the movie anymore?
They're going to find a canoe that doesn't have Cropsy in it. Check for Cropsy? No? Okay, good.
Maybe if we get on the raft, we can die too. They all have a death wish.
Yes.
Original name for this movie, Spider Canoe.
But again, a lesser movie, I say lesser, would have continued to kill off all the rest of the teenagers, and you know, all the rest of them all live, and that's nice. That doesn't happen that often.
Raft of death,
please, death raft.
Male campers, female campers, all will be.
I feel like D'Onofrio is not really pulling her weight,
and she
should be
has some weight.
She should be battling alone, and they should just be almost like it's a speedboat.
You know what they should have had Tiger
they should
just
have a
say?
Wake behind them.
You know what they should have had Tiger just say?
It's a hard knock life.
Exactly. I'm tired of paddling. It's a hard knock life, and then it becomes a musical number.
Don't look at the way
D'Onofrio just looked right in the camera.
Ugh, I'm acting. Law and order. Bah.
The contract promised no rowing.
Paddling, please.
The truth is, I like the raft scene, and I generally kind of like this movie because it's a little bit different from other slasher movies, but almost everything after the raft scene is garbage and just takes way too long. Because this is the rest of the movie. It's two people following each other around.
Alfred is looking for something to look at, but doesn't realize Cropsy's looking at him.
Hey, guys! Wait, weren't there more of you? Grab this pole. Oh, Zing, grab this one.
Jason Alexander was as funny as that.
This is one of my favorite moments, though.
They come back and it's...
Hey, where's my canoes? And she says, there's a killer. Look, hold on, you'll see it. She has to wait until she gets all the way up there, though. She can't just yell it.
I wish when they came back, like, all the adults left. And they come back to, like, a Lord of the Flies type environment. Hey,
there's a killer out there. And he goes, oh, come on, what? And her response is, look at them! And I so wish he had said, like, oh, they look alive to me.
Oh, my God, they're wearing the same shirts.
Looks back at her, decides, yes, there must be a killer. Those kids do look like there's a killer out
there. Well, those kids look fatigued.
Killer.
Brian Becker didn't get a salary for this film. He was paid by the mile.
Yeah, they must have had just a week left of shooting, and only Brian Becker, Cropsy, and, like, Todd, or, wait, right? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Todd left, so they just got 30 minutes of a movie out of those three actors. Because this is really boring. Does anybody care at this point if Brian Becker survives?
I don't think anybody cared at any point.
Right. I mean, we're really invested in, like, him getting away from...
Well, that takes away from your point about this movie being different. Like, don't you want to care about him?
Well, but maybe that's his way of subverting the cliche, because they're spending so much time on it, you expect him to get it. And when he doesn't, that's the surprise.
All right. This movie's genius.
This is just a kid...
He found an old castle!
This is kids in a forest preserve making a movie that has no script. I mean, it's just aimless. The director had some film left over, so he said, run, you Jewy bastard, run.
Malin was not an anti-Semite.
And yet.
When did they find the mine?
The ending of this...
I'm sorry, I misspoke. When did they find the mime?
I think Brian Backer's looking for the crystal skull.
He's had one expression for the last...
So odd-looking.
Yeah, he really is. So the movie was originally supposed to... The last sequence was supposed to take place in this cave.
Yes.
And they scouted a cave, and...
And at this point, opinions differ. There's two different stories about why they didn't use the cave.
Okay. The story that Savini tells is they went back the next day, and it had caved in.
Yes.
And Paul Schrader and his film crew.
We're laughing from the inside. Ed Begley Jr.
And someone else tells the story that they discovered upon further investigation that the cave was full of bats.
Mm.
So I don't know which is which.
That story's bats.
But they wound up using this, and apparently this was an abandoned mine of some sort.
Oops. Well, Cropsy right around the corner!
He's like, this guy! He looks right at the camera. For you, I'm not going to kill you right away.
It's kind of like the barracks sequence from Saving Private Ryan, don't you
think? I think so. You could argue that Cropsy is Nazi Germany, the Axis. And
what about when Glazer dies and he goes, earn this?
Shit.
Wait, what is that?
And then Cropsy dies and says, and I led a good life.
Well, you didn't murder all those people.
Oh, right.
All right. So, no.
I didn't rape them.
Oh, this is so boring.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
And I think there's something to be said for we got a week left and we got to shoot this quickly because all of a sudden the style of the film changes completely.
Yeah.
And you get all that handheld stuff, which is the last gasp of,
well,
we're running
out
of time.
I'm sure he felt that gave it immediacy.
No, I think...
It's how you shoot a chase scene and close in a tree.
It's how you shoot 10 minutes and not have to do separate setups. I keep expecting him to walk past Jethro Tull playing in the woods.
Yeah.
Metal clanks. Alfred?
Ian, what's that going to be?
Let me bring you some of the
Ian, what?
Ian Anderson.
Ian Anderson.
Yikes. The only man to attempt the flute in rock and roll.
Successfully. That guy has been scoring D&D games for decades.
Really? I didn't know.
People that play D&D listen to Jethro Tull.
Oh, I thought.
And I say that because that's what my brother did.
It's all part of that.
Look at the lighting coming in there. That's art. I don't remember that in your precious Halloween, Mike.
in that, the
do me next.
Halloween is better.
Where's Leighton? It's a Wonderful Life? Doug.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Please, that would take
two are
going to
do each other. I'm going to absent myself.
We've really run out of stuff to say. I apologize. Usually at this point in the commentary, we're like delirious. And Doug is doing weird Frankenstein impressions. So get on that, will you?
I did some drafting, Doug. I was shot down earlier.
No, I didn't mean to shoot you down.
Well, please.
Please. I wouldn't have invited him onto the podcast much earlier.
Please, it's a commentary draft.
At this point, he's saying Alfred
so much. He's a
big
fan of Caroline Houlihan.
Bruce Wayne's butler to come out. Yes, sir.
Right now, they're just inside a giant outhouse.
This is the abandoned mine that they used because the cave fell through.
So not a giant outhouse is what you're saying?
Alfred? And now that we've had 10 minutes of aimless handheld camera stuff, now we can go back to actual setups and tracking shots and some nice lighting.
Well, they're inside, right? So that's nice.
Yeah.
You do see very little of the Cropsy makeup, which I recognize is probably for the best, because
it's probably a function over...
Yeah, it's not the best makeup, but you really only...
You know what this film
see
means?
His
the
face
runaway
a couple
mine
times.
Car scene. Where he gets in the mine car and it's like a roller coaster.
I agree with you
something.
100%.
A lot of the Cropsy, the way when Cropsy's holding the scissors or the shears, it's actually Tony Malin's hands.
Oh.
And spoiler coming up, the final kill, the final axe in the face on Cropsy is Tom Savini striking Cropsy. Like his arm. Did I jump the gun?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
We're out of stuff to say, so we could just... What you'll see in the... that, by the way... It was crazy town. Did you guys see that shot?
Yeah.
What is that? They filmed a picture of her death scene. they didn't have the actress, so they just did a freeze frame from that death scene.
Right.
It's craziness.
It seems odd that Cropsy would use flames.
Yeah, right?
Fire bad.
It's like Jason Voorhees just drowning everyone.
Right.
With swirlies.
Flashback.
So now he's remembering that he was one of the people there, right?
Wait, I killed this guy.
Yeah.
I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Wait, this is the Burnings equivalent of that scene in the Michael Keaton Batman. I made you, you made me. That's
I don't always understand, too, why they feel they have to give the killers origins, specifically ones that are sort of revenge motivated, because if the idea is to create...
Oh. Art?
Yeah, look at that. If the idea is to create a guy who's just an evil son of a bitch who's murdering people, like, just make him that. Why do we need to give him motivation? Like, well, we do sort of deserve it. We did burn him.
Yeah.
You might think that on some level they're trying to make the killer sympathetic, but, I mean, the minute they start showing what he's doing...
Guys, remember that scene?
Yeah.
That kind of goes out the window.
It was not that long ago.
Where do you find a skull with, like, the worms in the nostril cavity?
Yeah. They either dressed that skull for the prank, or they dug up a real human skull.
What seasonal Halloween store?
Boy, kids are mean. Digging up dead bodies for an innocent prank. Maybe it's a clever product placement for the movie Zombie.
I like this movie better than the Zombie.
I am going to eat you.
For real, this scene is still going on.
I mean, really, honestly, since the raft scene, it really... Oh, well, I guess Glazer dies after the raft scene. Once Glazer's out of the movie, he takes the whole thing down with him.
Is he dead, though, for real? Do we know that for sure?
I mean, he lives on inside me.
Because there's a couple unaccounted for rapes that happened after that.
Given what we've seen, Glazer has to be dead. But you know what this reminds me of? And you reacted to it this way, I think, at the massacre. There's a scene in Frenzy that's really terrific. And you expect the movie to be over.
Yeah.
And then it goes on for another hour.
Yeah.
So they should have the raft scene, we're back at the campfire. We're telling the story. The end. The movie's an hour long. Because when you went into the theater, there was Harvey Weinstein in the lobby with a big sign. No refund.
And again, I've said more than once that I like a lot of the campers. And
are they just circling each other with a flamethrower?
But not this guy, not this guy, and not Brian Backer. Like, these are two that I'm least invested in. At this point, I would rather that counselor dude step up.
Oh, there's Cropsey's
burn face.
The reveal, the Tom Savini... Melty masterwork.
He does look like that shot in RoboCop where that dude gets toxic wasted. I'm sorry, chocolate wasted. Really, button your shirt up. Nobody needs to see that.
No, they want to put. You want to play the xylophone?
It's awful. Yikes.
Ah! God, stop acting so hard. He's like, I'm the Fonzie for the next generation.
He's really the early 80s equivalent of Screech.
Oh.
So is Cropsey now remembering his murders?
Yeah. Well, he has to because Todd wasn't there.
I know.
Well, just like in Saving Private Ryan, the flashbacks don't always sync with the character that's having the flashback.
True. You mean like the entire movie doesn't sync with the character who's remembering all of it?
Pish posh peanuts.
Boy, that never occurred to me.
Oh, please. Don't get me started.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, no, it's the worst.
Let's talk more about the burning, guys. All right, well, that was pretty easy.
Huh.
Yeah. I really didn't expect it to be that easy.
What? You think this is over? You've never seen a horror film.
No, look, he fell down. He appears to be dead. They rented a
helicopter
for this.
That's got
to
be the end of the movie, the helicopter shot.
We're them, they're us.
Nice. These things aren't three.
Please, land by that
skeleton.
That stick is waving its arms. Let's land.
Surely that skeleton knows where the killer is.
Now let's go make love.
Don't you believe it.
Turns out the helicopter pilot was Cropsey all along.
What a surprise.
Some Friday the 13th part.
No, it's Cropsey's mom.
Yes, exactly. Wait a minute. The other looks totally different. Boing!
Burn him again.
Just, you know, to be a dick.
Right. I'm pretty sure the axe to the brain.
This'll teach him not to come back and try and kill us.
This is very much an 80s phenomenon. The bad guy has to be dead, 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 killing, dead.
See, they can get around actually doing another full burn effect by just cutting back to flashbacks from the earlier burn effect.
Let's go get you a Happy Meal.
But I want to watch. Wait, let's not leave yet. I want to watch.
It's my thing.
Right. I can't get hard without it.
Now, if I were them, I would wait and make sure he's all burned up, because you never know. There could be a burning, too. Burning in my loins.
There should have been a burning, too, but not Cropsey. Glazer
burning,
could've.
Too. I'm burning for you.
Glazer could have come back. The Burninger. No, that's not right. So now we go to this weird campfire scene with characters that we don't know telling the legend of
You guys
Cropsey.
Like my vest? Well, there's a story behind this vest. That story stars a guy named Cropsey.
Hated that. Is that Jeff Conway?
I wish, but no.
Hey, I brought some heroin for us. And now, to give the film its due, can't you tell that time has passed by the clothes they're wearing?
I wish they were all wearing, like, silver jumpsuits.
Yes, and sunglasses that are, like, two disproportionate triangles.
Yes.
One pink and one white.
And they're sitting around a space fire.
Back in the past. Human-eyed Cropsey.
And now it's got this great last shot of him looking right into the camera and yelling, "You're dead!" Right? I think he yells, "You're dead."
I think so. Picture a fire, but not this fire.
Whoa. And it goes out on a note of terror. And then we get, like, Porky Burger's credit.
Yeah, Porky Burger, he knows what he's doing.
He really knew how to be an executive in charge of production.
I'm wondering if Leia Ayers is related to Lou Ayers, who was the star of All Quiet on the Western Front.
I believe she's related to David Ayers. Not really. Not really, guys.
Tiger, tiger, burning bright. in the burning on the right.
Rhoda doesn't know how to spell her real name. AIM? What?
Mansoor Naji Ulla.
Yeah, gives the performance of the movie after my smiling friend.
Yo, man, he's cooked like a Big Mac, see? Like, picture a burger, like a Corky burger.
Not like a Wop. I'm picturing like a Wop, like a Wop.
No, like, you know, a producer, Corky Burger.
Okay, like, okay.
I want you to picture a hamburger patty okay. that you have ordered well done.
Like a Wendy's.
Cut, cut. No. Well done piece of meat. He's just a piece of meat that's been burning, burning, burning.
You ever go to a brazier? I'm talking flame world.
Hey, Clucky. We're laughing because we're so happy it's over.
Did you guys see the credit for, like, special business associates or something? Doesn't that sound to you like mob investors?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jimmy the Fish was the...
in charge of making sure that nothing breaks or suddenly bursts into flame.
Oh, there was a wardrobe assistant, Rick Holtz.
That's the person who said, bring your own clothes, right. Everyone. Bring your own clothes.
He emailed that out.
You were wearing that shirt yesterday. Put on this blue jacket.
He emailed that out, but it was before the internet, so just no one got the memo. So they all just...
The only reason Fisher Stevens is wearing the blue jacket in the raft scene is because he didn't want to get blood on his oversized V-neck t-shirt from home.
Executive in charge of passing out everyone's per diem.
So this movie is out on Blu-ray with lots of extras. You guys should get it.
What are the extras on the Blu-ray?
Screen Factory.
Not this commentary, which I feel like is a mistake. They missed an opportunity. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Happy Scary Movie Month.
Scary Movie Month. We're here.
Thanks, guys.
Western New York.
What will they think of next?
If I were the king of the burning.